Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday morning. It's April 19th, 2021. Hope you are doing well on this Monday. I'm a little bit emotionally exhausted, but exhilarated at the same time after an incredible week of our Ave Maria Radio Spring Drive, which, thanks be to God, was very successful. We made our goal. Thank you. And we heard from people in almost every single state of the Union, which is phenomenal. And it's so important because we team up, as you know, with EWTN to bring you incredible radio on EWTN Radio. Then we had our Listening for God conference over the weekend, and I was trying to take in as many talks as I could, and I'm telling you, they were off the chart. So thanks to all our speakers. Thanks to all of those who registered and went in to watch some of the live content, and thanks to our sponsors, and thanks also to Ave Maria Radio and EWTN for their great help and great support in getting the word out. You can still, if you'd like to go on and purchase actually the content, you can do that now. But I just want to say thank you because it was really well worth it. It's a lot of work putting on these conferences, especially virtually, because this is still kind of a whole new world for us, even though we have many of these conferences going on. But at the same time, I'll tell you what, if you sit down, and I've participated now in many of these great online events, you kind of figure if you look at all the speakers that they bring together, normally it's like 50 to 75 speakers. If you were to break that down into going to a conference, most conferences, if they're one day or even a weekend, usually have 3 to 4, maybe 5 speakers, and they run anywhere. If they're one day, they usually run about $50, $60. And if you think about the value, and even just being able to watch it for free over the weekend, it's crazy. Because you have, I would say, you can compare it to, in terms of the number of speakers and the content, about 15, 16 actual Catholic conferences. Anyway, the talks were amazing. I learned so much. Father Leo had a great talk about using the acronym VOICE. And I don't know, there's so much to talk about. I don't have time to go into it, but I was very refreshed, and I really needed it too. I mean, the whole conference was based on the book Listening for God and how we listen for God. But the talks were so raw. One of our wonderful listeners, James, wrote me this morning. He said, wow. He said the people really shared from the depths of their heart and soul. So I want to thank the speakers too, because they took the time out of their busy schedule to share something special. Okay, I want to mention coming up, I'm so grateful for the ministry in so many ways of our dear friend, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. He is going to come on at about 15 minutes past the hour after the news and talk about all the division in our country, all the strife, and now that we have the case of former police officer Derek Chauvin going to the jury today, cities around the country are bracing for more unrest in the streets. And what about all the racial divide? How do we look at this from a Catholic perspective? Because we know about the evil of racism. The church has many, many teachings on this. And Deacon Harold is the perfect person to discuss this from a Catholic perspective in terms of his knowledge as a deacon, as an author, as a speaker, as someone who's been on the airwaves with us here for many years at EWTN, who can address all of this from a scriptural and Catholic perspective, but also as a law enforcement expert with an extensive background in law enforcement, and also as an African-American leader and brother in the Lord. So he'll bring everything to the table today so we can talk about this and how do we respond as concerned Catholics. Where's the balance here? Because I don't think it's helpful to do what some of these groups are suggesting in wiping out and defunding the police completely. But as Deacon Harold has mentioned on this program before, there does need to seem still, even after the death of George Floyd last year, there seems to be still a lot that needs to be addressed within police departments. So there's a whole range of topics to talk about. Most importantly, how do we look at this as believers in Jesus in the Catholic Church? So Deacon Harold is coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. And then I'm so excited to talk about this beautiful ministry, Natural Womanhood. And I'm on their email list, and I get there quarterly. They're having next week a webcast with my little sis, you know her well, Ujuwiki Ocha from Culture of Life Africa. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be alerting pro-life advocates of the major impact around the world and especially on Africa of pro-contraceptive policies. and the same situation going on in other developing countries. So you have time to check this out, and we'll give you all the details. It's next week on the internet, April 29th, with our friend Uju and representatives from Natural Womanhood. So that's our program for today on a busy Monday morning. Hope you're having a good Monday. We do have a lot of news to get through. Never a dull moment. So let's do that right now and see what's happening in and around the world on your Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Holy Father yesterday reappearing at the window of a study in the Apostolic Palace overlooking St. Peter's to greet the faithful and recite the Regina Caeli prayer, the first time since mid-March that he has made direct contact with the people in the square in accordance with the Italian government's decrees to curb the spread of the virus. Holy Father reflecting on the gospel according to Luke in chapter 24, which tells of how the resurrected Jesus presented himself in the midst of the group of disciples, saying, "Peace be with you." The disciples, he said, are frightened and believe that they saw a ghost. Then Jesus shows them his bodily wounds and says, "See my hands and my feet? It's I myself. Handle me." And to convince them, he asks for food and eats it before their astonished eyes. The Pope explaining three very tangible words characterizing the gospel passage. They are looking, touching, and eating. He said these are all verbs that reflect our individual and community life and describe actions that can give joy to a true encounter with the living Jesus. Pro-life groups responding to a Kentucky billboard campaign featuring phrases such as "good people have abortions," trying to reconcile religious faith with abortion. Louisville Archbishop Joseph Kurtz affirming the Catholic Church's deep commitment to give voice to the child in the womb while also supporting mothers. Evangelical Franklin Graham is asking Americans to turn to prayer ahead of the Derek Chauvin trial verdict. In a social media post last night, the president of Samaritan's Purse saying the nation has become divided racially and needs God's help. Graham asking that Americans pray the nation would turn to God in repentance and faith in his son. He said Jesus is the way that the nation can be reconciled with God and with man. Meanwhile, the governor of Minnesota is calling for calm as jurors in the Derek Chauvin trial are expected to get the case today. Mark Mayfield fills us in.
Derek Chauvin has been charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter for kneeling on Floyd's neck during an arrest last May. Jurors heard 2 weeks of testimony from dozens of witnesses. As the defense wrapped up its case last week, Chauvin invoked his Fifth Amendment rights and refused to testify.
The Indianapolis community is remembering the 8 victims of a mass shooting at the FedEx facility there. Hundreds of people attending a candlelight vigil over the weekend, including Mayor Joe Hogsett.
Even though we may not have known them, we do love them. We do miss them. And in their name, we continue on.
The victims ranging in ages from 24 to 74, all 8 killed Thursday night when a former employee of the facility opened fire before taking his own life. The Supreme Court hearing an appeal today in an immigration case that could decide whether hundreds of thousands of immigrants will have to leave the country. That issue was whether around 400,000 immigrants, mostly from El Salvador, who received temporary protected status, may apply for green cards even if they have entered the U.S. illegally. They are living in the U.S. under a program that allows foreign nationals to stay if the administration decides conditions in their home countries make returning unsafe. If the justices uphold a lower court ruling, those people would have to leave the U.S. before they could apply for permanent residency. A bipartisan pair of senators says finding agreement between the two sides of the aisle is key to moving America forward.
We are both hoping that in the next few weeks, as we work through committees, that we will end up being together on a bill that will invest in American competitiveness.
Speaking on Fox News Sunday, Delaware Democrat Chris Coons and Texas Republican John Cornyn say lawmakers are actively looking to find common ground to get legislation through Congress. The pair agreeing that about $800 billion in traditional infrastructure spending on items such as roads and bridges would probably pass if it were its own bill. Coons saying finding unity would show that lawmakers could solve Americans' everyday problems. And also crucial to the country's standing in the world, Cornyn saying the parties are not as divided on as some issues as they appear to be in the papers or on the cable news shows. Starting today, as Tracy Potts tells us, most Americans are now eligible to get a coronavirus vaccination.
TV, 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 Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. Expect to see President Biden, Vice President Harris, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and others from the administration blanketing the airwaves and social media today as the COVID vaccine becomes available to everyone over age 16.
The CDC reporting 32% of adults are fully vaccinated. Almost 50% have gotten at least one dose. Public health officials are worried about how available vaccines are since administrations of the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine are paused, but that hold is expected to be lifted on Friday. There are a few things that taxpayers need to know about paying taxes in this unique year still impacted by COVID-19.
There are actually some special provisions that take account of the fact that people were adversely affected during 2020.
Eric Smith of the IRS says that there are some really popular credits for families that low, moderate, and even middle-income families may benefit from. Smith adding there's also something that will help self-employed individuals with their taxes this year as well. If you could not take on the responsibilities of your business because of the coronavirus, there's a way to take a special tax credit. And history has been made on NASA's Ingenuity Mars helicopter. It carried out the first powered flight on another planet.
Altimeter data confirms that Ingenuity has performed its first flight, the first flight of a powered aircraft on another planet.
The flight taking place around 12:30 Eastern time over the weekend, but didn't reach Earth until 3 hours later. An image showed the shadow of the helicopter on the surface of the red planet as it hovered in the thin atmosphere. Video from the nearby Perseverance lander showing the helicopter hovering 3 meters above the surface. A 4-pound helicopter first arrived on the Martian surface February 18th with its parent, the Perseverance rover. It was hoping to do the flight last week, but it ran into some problems. And finally, in our new segment about 12 minutes past the hour, interesting story out of the Vatican concerning science. A Society of Catholic Scientists planning to address non-human intelligence at its 2021 conference in June in D.C., scientific and theological insights will be offered about extraterrestrial and artificial intelligence. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about a divided nation and what we can do to help heal it. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is coming up on the day today that the case of George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, the police officer charged with killing him, it's coming up today. It goes to the jury and then a possible verdict very soon. We'll be right back.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Now is a great time to learn about CMF Curo as a pro-life Catholic health care option for your family. You can join anytime throughout the year. Plus, you'll experience an authentic Catholic community that cares about your health, spirit, mind, and body. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com to learn more about CMF Curo.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages, and I'm so excited to announce two domestic pilgrimages this time. One to the Shrines of Wisconsin, where we're going to be joined by Cardinal Raymond Burke. We're going to have a consecration to St. Joseph and Our Lady of Good Help for the apparition of Mary that happened there. Also, we're going to St. Augustine, Florida, where the Catholic Church actually started, the first Mass ever, and we're going to be joined by Father Frank Pavone.
To learn more about your Ave Maria radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Proud to call Deacon Harold a friend, and he's a deacon, so we bonded over that very quickly when I first met him. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, known around the world as the dynamic deacon. I think that's a huge understatement if you ever heard him speak in person. He's such a powerful speaker. He's also one of the most sought-after speakers in the church today, powerful and passionate evangelist and preacher, and he has a no-nonsense approach to living and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith that challenges all of us. Deacon, great to talk to you again, my friend.
It's great to be with you as always, Teresa. Thank you for having me.
A sad day, a sad week. I mean, it's been a sad time. So many problems in our country. And first of all, let me get your thoughts from both a Catholic perspective. Well, I'm going to throw three things at you. Catholic deacon, you're a powerful speaker. You know the faith so well. You have a great deal of common sense when it comes to law enforcement because of your background. But then as an African-American brother in the Lord, you're well aware of many of the issues that we face regarding the evil of racism in our world today. So kind of, if you can reflect on what you've been thinking about as we get into this day where this case now goes to the jury.
Yeah, so the first thing I've been thinking about is we need to be praying for the repose of the souls of Duante Wright and George Floyd and their families, and for the officers and everyone involved in these cases, because everyone wants to see that justice is done. So we definitely, first of all, need to pray. And the second thing, as far as the reactions to what's been happening, you know, Martin Luther King once said we have to adopt a method toward peace that rejects violence and revenge and retaliation. And I think we as Catholics can really step up and be that voice of reason and faith and peace in this really impassioned and volatile situation that has arisen in these cases and others. You know, we need to be the voice of Jesus, you know, and let the justice system do its work.
So how do we do that, though? Because it's such a sensitive issue, and if you weigh in on this, there can even be sometimes, depending on how we express ourselves, it can be so sensitive and so volatile, Deacon.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, you look at the cases of like George Floyd, like from a law enforcement perspective, you know, there is no technique where you kneel on someone's neck for 9 minutes. I mean, there's no place where that's taught. So you have to ask yourself when you see something like that, is he doing this because George Floyd was black? Or if there was any other suspect, no matter what race in that situation, would he have done the same thing? And so the initial response has been, well, that's a racist act. He's just doing it because he was black. But what has to be in the officer's mind at the time is, if it's a racially motivated incident, is that my race is superior to this other guy's race. Therefore, I get to treat him as less of a human being, and that's why I'm doing this. So that's what you have to determine if you're going to call it a racist act. And the same thing with this officer with this the discharging her firearm instead of her taser. She would have said, the reason I'm doing this, I'm deliberately knowing that I'm just pulling my sidearm instead of my taser because my race is superior to this other guy's race, and I just want to see, you know, the elimination of black. I mean, that's what you have to say that that was a racist act. I think in this, the second case, with Mr. Wright, I think it was, looks to me, looking objectively at the whole thing, it was an accidental discharge. But at the same time, I think the charge against her is justified. There's been a couple other cases where there's been an accidental discharge like that, and the officers involved were fired, and they were charged with second-degree murder, which is what the officer in this case is charged with as well. So, again, if you look at the history of this, everything that's happening is happening, is very consistent with what's happened in the past and how the situation was dealt with.
Okay. So in terms of our role, what can be some of the ways we can instill peace in this very volatile? You mentioned we have to speak up as Catholics, but I think a lot of people are afraid to speak up because this is such a explosive hot-button issue.
Yeah, they are afraid to speak up, but that's especially now is where they need to hear our voice. I mean, there's one thing to stand with the family and support them and to show them the love of Christ, you know, but that's we do without what does the violence and the looting have to do with it?
Right.
Going into people's businesses, breaking in, stealing stuff from the store. What does that have to do with what's going on? And see, situations like that make things worse. Because in a sense, you're pulling attention away from the case and from justice, and now you're focused on these other things, which has nothing to do with what's going on. So I think we as Catholics, we can say, yes, we can stand with the families and with the people. I mean, obviously very emotional, but at the same time, we could be examples of, you know, having peaceful protests, candlelight vigils, things like that, and as juxtaposed to the way the response is happening in some corners right now.
We're talking with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and you know him well from his great work on EW10, his many books and talks, dynamic speaker, joining us this morning. Also has an extensive law enforcement background. I know when after the George Floyd death happened last year, you came on and we were talking about the need for a look at what's happening with police and the training, and more training needed to be done as to why something like this could happen. How do you think that's been addressed in the last year since we talked about this? Have we made any progress in that area of really going into these departments and looking at what they're doing, and at the same time not wiping all departments out, as one of our Michigan congresswomen was saying last week, which is, you know, she did get a lot of pushback from other Democrats on that, but there's everybody seems to be either on one end or the other. But what are you seeing inside the departments around the country?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, I don't have my foot in that door anymore, but
right.
My sense is, from speaking with my law enforcement colleagues, that it's not being done on a wide basis. But let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. One of the things I think needs to be fixed all around the board at the academy level is identifying bias. So, of course, officers take mental health tests, right? They usually take the MMPI. But the MMPI doesn't screen for biases. So, for example, if you're in a traffic stop class, everyone's learning the same techniques on how to do traffic stops. But it doesn't identify and train out the biases for the person who's in that class who are learning these techniques, and then they have the added bias of, I don't like black people, so I'm going to use these techniques that I'm learning. Because I know whenever I pull off of a black person, they're probably going to have a... I mean, that's kind of, see, that's what's not identified and trained out. So what we need to do is to be able to find different ways, whether psychological testing or otherwise, to identify biases and potential biases in officers, and to deal with it then, and not wait till these guys get on the street and maybe use the techniques that they're learning to hurt someone, when everybody should be treated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is the single biggest thing that needs to be done. In fact, the Police Research Institute, this is interesting, they said that officers need to be trained to see the humanity in the person. And that is the very first principle of Catholic social teaching.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
The human being.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main thing that needs to be done right now.
So today it goes to, you're going to hear the closing arguments, it'll go to the jury. Are you concerned? There seems to be a level of raised concern and anticipation. Many of the cities are gearing up, New York City and others, for what could possibly happen either way, depending on the final decision, the verdict. What are your thoughts as to what we can pray about specifically going into this day, Deacon?
Well, again, we have to pray for the repose of the soul of George Floyd. We have to pray for their families. We have to pray for an atmosphere of calm. Because here's the thing. The real cross of prayer is to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of every single situation in our lives. So whatever happens, we have to remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether we feel the decision is just or unjust, we have to ask ourselves, how is the Lord working in this situation right now? And how can I, as a follower of Christ, especially as a Catholic, someone who receives Jesus in word and sacrament, and then is kicked out at the end of Mass by the deacon, and we're impelled to go forward to be Eucharist to the world,
right,
to be witnesses of God's love, even in very difficult situations. You know, when priests and deacons preach about this from the ambo at Mass, when they are charged people to go out and be witnesses, here's what this peaceful protest should look like. Here's how we can stand with the families, but at the same time, make sure that justice is served. Maybe if they don't feel it's done in the legal system, but we can be witnesses of that love to the world and to our family. So I think, you know, the more we can do that, I think the more peaceful these protests will be when the verdict comes down.
One of the things that we could talk about this, Deacon, when we come back, it's almost 25 minutes past the hour, we have to take a break, that really frustrated me last year was this call for sending social workers into particular situations such as domestic violence situations. Now, I know from my days as a street reporter, because I covered a lot of domestic incidents, domestic shootings, domestic arguments where police were called to this, that, or the other thing. And my brother-in-law was a state police trooper in Pennsylvania for years, and he said those were some of the most difficult, volatile situations you ever walk into as a police officer, because the emotions are all off, are all over the place, and oftentimes substance abuse may be involved. And then people come along and say, well, we can just send a different type of person to investigate. That really, I mean, from what I saw from my own eyes, 20 years on the street as a reporter who was always talking to police, again, I don't have a law enforcement background, but I walked into many of those situations when I covered them and saw the emotion that was expressed and the problems the police were having. I want to talk about that when we come back, and also what more we can do as Catholics as we wait for the verdict that goes to the jury today after closing arguments in the case of the murder of George Floyd, and also the verdict on Derek Chauvin, the former police officer. We'll be right back.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the Brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Minutes past the hour. We help you look at everything, as Al always says, Al Crestor, through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the one holy Catholic apostolic faith. With us, the wonderful Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, you know from his great work on EWTN, his many speaking engagements. He's actually out on a speaking assignment this morning. I was glad that he wasn't in his home state of Portland, so he didn't get up at the crack of dawn to do the interview. But it's not too bad for him this morning. DeaconHarold.com is his website. Check out his great books and speaking events, life coaching, all kinds of things that he does. Again, DeaconHarold.com. Okay, you know, I mentioned this during the before the break, and then you and I were talking. And you know that my background, I was a general assignment reporter and anchor for years, and I spent a lot of time in the inner city covering a lot of crime stories, and all over the place covering crime stories, but a lot some pretty rough areas of Metro Detroit. And oftentimes when police were called into a situation and they find out that it's domestic, that would turn out to be some of the most volatile because of the emotions involved. And yet last year we heard right away, well, we're just going to restructure the police and we're going to use social workers to go and end these domestic disputes. And these images came to my head, Deacon, of my days on the street as a reporter, seeing what the police had to go through and trying to calm a situation like that. That to me seemed way out there and not a way we should be going. I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying in terms of recognizing biases, better training, but dismantling the police, and one congresswoman last week asked, saying we should wipe out the police. Your thoughts?
Okay, so one of the things you're taught as a police officer, there's a force continuum. The very first rung of that ladder on the continuum is verbal de-escalation. And so that was something I emphasized with my officers when I was a chief, was to focus on verbal de-escalation, getting, you know, and I taught by example. So I would go out on calls, and I would, you know, we'd be in a volatile situation with someone who was drunk or high or something like that, and we'd work with them. But there's been many times, Teresa, remember one time in particular, I was taking the lead because I wanted to show the officers how this was done. And I thought, okay, we got this guy calmed down. This is going great, you know, and we can resolve this peacefully. And literally, just like that, the guy turned and lunged at me. Like, he just, I'm like, whoa, boom, all of a sudden we got people jumping on him, have to get him contained. I mean, so that's the volatility of the situation like that. You're exactly right. You walk into a domestic situation, and not all of the time, but a lot of the time, the person is under the influence of alcohol or some controlled substance. And now you have to try to deal with this situation, which could be dangerous for a lot of people. So you're working to try to use the techniques that you learned to get the situation calmed down, but it could turn on a dime. And if you send a social worker into a situation like that, they're going to get hurt.
Right.
You know, I think where social workers could come in, maybe they could be part of the academy in scenario-based training, where the social worker is, you know, they're creating a situation of a domestic, and the officer is trying to deal with it, and the social worker is saying, okay, here's something you can say right now, or here. You know, and work at the academy level with the social workers, instead of, like, you know, having them go out with the officers, and then now the officer has to worry about another person being kept safe and out of harm's way while they deal with the situation that's going on.
Yeah, and to me, that makes a lot more sense, and that actually would give them an insight into what happens in these situations, in these relationships when they get volatile, right?
Exactly. So the social worker can give, you're exactly right, Therese, you nailed it. They can give the officer insight. So the officer mentally is approaching the situation from a different perspective.
And understanding what's going on. Okay. Yeah, this is what happened.
Yeah.
This is a husband and wife, or this is a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or a father and a son, and this is what they've been up against. This is a possible scenario. Who knows? But to have that, to do, you know, and we do that. When I do media training, I give them a scenario and walk them through a situation, whether it's a crisis media, whether it's a press conference, whatever it is, so they can understand it when it actually happens.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And again, this I think that kind of training, and I think the bias training that we talked about before, and I think even doing citizens academies where you have regular citizens come in and you have them, you know, you give them, you know, the what we call the red gun, you know, which is a toy gun, a fake gun, and train them to do traffic stop and have them do it and see what they would do in that situation. When the guy, we're asking for the driver's license registration shirt, and the person gets out of their car and start walking towards you, what would you do in that situation? You know, or go on ride-alongs with the officers, kind of see what they have to deal with on a daily basis. I think all those things, together with our Catholic response, are definitely ways that things can improve.
I went on a lot of ride-alongs in my day, Deacon, and it was quite eye-opening, let me tell you. But I think if we don't walk in someone's shoes, and whatever side of the issue we're talking about this morning, as you mentioned, in terms of recognizing the biases, that we really have to understand and take some time and really look at this and pray about it and research it, as opposed to just coming up with all these ideas that have no basis in reality in terms of a situation as you just described. Not saying that change isn't necessary and that we have to review these things, but there's so much emotion, and that's all we see on the evening news and online is emotion and anything that we can do to trump up discord, you know, trump up discord between people. And that's causing more damage at the end of the day, not solving any problems in terms of addressing the issue of real racism and then looking at what can be done at the police level.
You're exactly right, because if everything is race, then that's what's going to get the emotions high. I think we could take a step back and look at the situation to determine what was the action this officer took. Was it racially motivated? What was in the officer's mind? What was the intent? And that's what we have to determine. Everything just kept going, oh, it's race. They murdered this kid. I mean, you can't do that. And I think the news media with whatever agenda they have, are making things worse when they could be making things better. And that's why I think we have to step up and show people how we can support families that are grieving, but at the same time do it in a way that's peaceful, that respects the legacy of Martin Luther King and others who fought and gave their lives so that things can change in a peaceful way.
Yeah, absolutely. The media, I understand them covering it, but you're right in terms of inciting more problems. There was a very interesting clip that went viral last week. I don't know if you saw it, of one of the reporters from CNN out there, and a man came up and he was very frustrated. He said, "You people are a big part of the problem." I can't repeat what he said because he used a lot of bad language. He was very frustrated. And he said, "You should leave. You're not helping the situation any. You're making it much worse." And I think a lot of people could relate to what he was saying. Deacon, great discussion. Thank you so much. Where are you speaking today or this week?
Yes, I'm in Algona, Iowa at the Five Saints community. It's basically five parishes. Four parishes, Saints Peter and Paul, so that those two saints count as one. And I'll go to Iowa this week speaking. So if you're in the area, come by. Love to see you.
And you're doing a parish mission or parish missions?
Yes, this is a parish mission. It's a makeup from 2020.
Yeah, I had one of those. I just did one. I know we're all making up our engagements, right, that we got canceled. I just did a parish mission in Ann Arbor.
That's right.
After it was supposed to be, it was planned for 2 years. Anyway, thanks for taking the time out of your very busy and amazing schedule to speak with us. My dear friend, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, who, by the way, is going to be on the marriage cruise with us next year, 2022, the Good News Cruise. AveMariaRadio.net has all that information. He's going to be there speaking along with Father John Mercado, Archbishop Chaput, Kimberly, and Scott Hahn, Al and Sally Cresta, yours truly, and Deacon Dom, and Dr. Ray Guarindi. Deacon Harold's going to be with us. He spoke for us before the cruise last year, and he's going to be with us on the ship next year. We're so excited. We'll be right back on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. DeaconHarold.com, great website.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
There's going to be conflict. I want to make that clear. My concern is unity, but I don't think you can get to unity before you get to the conflict. And you have to remember, the church is not supposed to be submissive to the state. It's not supposed to be the ruler over the state, but it's supposed to be the conscience of the state. And if you ever wrestled with your conscience, you know, conscience creates conflict. So we expect conflict between the church and the surrounding culture, especially with the political order. We expect conflict among fellow Christians because we will assess the various importance of issues differently. But here's what's supposed to work. Our union in Christ is supposed to keep us bonded together so that these fights can be handled and they can be fruitful. Not the kind of conflict that drives separation. They can be fruitful conflict.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
So much information that women don't know, don't receive regarding the damage birth control can do, not just spiritually, obviously, but so many problems it causes. And women have been sold a bill of goods for decades. Did a whole book on this called Extreme Makeover, Women Transformed by Christ, Not Conformed to the Culture. And I go through the abortion distortion and the contraception deception, and go through a lot of things that we don't hear because the secular media have long bought into this need for abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy and every kind of birth control on the planet. Well, on April 29th, which happens to be the feast day of St. Catherine of Siena, by the way, just saying, there's going to be a fabulous webcast with the one, the only, my little sis, Uju Ikiocha from Culture of Life Africa. Now, I'm hoping to get Uju on in the next week. She couldn't join us today, but I wanted to bring on Gerard and Teresa because I wanted to get some early publicity for next week's event. I think it's next week, actually, 2 weeks away, on April 29th. So we have Gerard Mijon and Teresa Piddle, both from Natural Womanhood. Welcome. Gerard, let me go to you first and tell us specifically about the event, how this all will work on the 29th. Good morning.
Good morning, Teresa, and thank you for having us this morning. We're very excited. We have, on April 29th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, we will have an exclusive interview with Uju and to speak about exactly what you said is how the contraception campaigns are impacting or targeting Africa and other developing countries. And so we know that there are, as you mentioned, a lot of problems with contraception in Western countries, and now we're exporting those in Africa and other countries. So Uju will be speaking about that. She'll be interviewed by Teresa. We'll have also a short video clip about some actual testimonials of women in Africa.
Teresa, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. I'm sure you've spoken to Uju before. What do you hope to cover in the webcast? Because there's so much material that she can make available to the to those who decide to register for this.
Oh, thank you, Teresa, so much. It's a joy to be able to speak with you. There's so much to cover, as you stated. We hope to cover, we want Uju to tell us about life in Africa and the tradition and family values that they hold dear. To really tell people about their way of life. We also then hope to cover how these U.S. and Western-funded contraceptive campaigns harm these women, including how these mobile clinics come in and, you know, give these women contraceptives and then leave. And these women don't have access if something goes wrong or there is a terrible side effect, how these women are left without any health care after that because these mobile clinics then leave. We also want her to shine a light on how we can help, how we can be a voice for these women, and how we can teach and help educate them on natural family planning and these healthy alternatives.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's just a wealth of information. But what I love too, Gerard, is that she gives you, she takes you into the life of people in Africa. And I think this whole agenda of the left, they think they're being so liberating and, oh, we're so helpful and we're, you know, we're the ones who have all the open ideas. And they're very, I mean, it's very condescending and insulting to come in and you're not even in that country. You don't know the way people live. You don't understand the life. You don't understand the faith background. You don't understand how important family and children are, and how I remember Uju telling me early on in terms of how women and families work together in terms of understanding a child and what's going on in that child's life and the whole family concept. And to come in and say, oh, no, you need to live this way, not having any knowledge at all about the lifestyle or what people are, their actual world reality every day. Your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. And it's, I mean, you and I are in communication, and I have a marketing background, and you know, it's all about framing, right? It's all about presenting and the way it's presented to the Western world and Western founders is that, oh, these people need help. So basically they are lacking something that, and we have all these great things here, which is family, you know, contraception, and so they need it. But it's behind that is a big fear, I think, of, the population. I mean, there are definitely strong ideas of population control, and so it's really not a view of the full human person. It's not interested in the reality of the family, and just like in the West, right? I mean, the ideas behind contraception were not rooted in a really caring understanding of what your marriage is, what a family is, and that had tremendous cost. And that's why, I mean, in the past, you know, 8 years, we've been very active in trying to undo these lies and speak up for, you know, show the reality of contraception on naturalwomanhood.org and speak up for the actual benefits of natural family planning and all the science that's around it.
Yeah, and we hear a lot of talk about follow the science in the last year or so, right? And there's something in this discussion where those out in you know, in the media and in the culture don't follow the science because the science shows the problems. And you and I know what's so great about you is that you're looking at this, obviously you have a spiritual component here, but you're looking at this mainly from a medical and a scientific perspective in terms of the real studies and the research that shows the damage that birth control does, right?
Right. Yeah, that's very important. I think you know, we started Natural Womanhood focused on family planning, and I met through this work a group of parents who had lost a daughter at a young age from the side effects of contraception. So really started speaking more and looking at all the data. And there's a lot of data that is really showing the issues with contraception. There's actually a petition to the FDA that was published about a year ago. We have information on our website about it that really requests that there would be more specific information in the labels of these drugs because it's really underreported and people are not informed fully about those side effects. So it's really important to speak about it, but the problem is that, you know, people trust these drugs when there are a lot of risk, and so we want to make sure that we provide the accurate information to people so that they're warned. And that has actually been very important when we have an article on the IUD that become viral worldwide. And it's about the copper IUD, and we've had people from Malaysia, from Germany, saying, "Wow, you saved my life, or you really changed my life because I had all these side effects, and not until I read your article did I realize it was from the copper IUD."
Yeah, well, the website, by the way, for all this great information and the articles, naturalwomanhood.org. We're talking with Gerard Mijan and Teresa Piddle from that beautiful ministry, again, naturalwomanhood.org. So, Teresa, how will this work on the 29th? And tell us how to register.
Sure. Thank you so much, Teresa. Yes, so everyone can go to naturalwomanhood.org. And once there, you will see a tab on the right-hand corner, and it says Target Africa. You will click on that and register for this free webcast, and then you will be sent an email, and then you'll join us on the Thursday, April 29th at 7:30 p.m. to listen to Uju tell us all this wonderful information.
Yeah, and the title, by the way, the event is based on her great book, Target Africa, which I endorsed, and it's just an incredible story of how the Lord brought her into ministry. And her knowledge, also her background, is really important. And the thing that drives me crazy is, you know, we read in the Old Testament that my people lack or perish for a lack of knowledge. And people think they're well-informed, and they're not. We have been, especially women, have been sold a bill of goods since the very beginning. People don't even know the experiments that were done on women in Puerto Rico, for example, with birth control, or what happens with abortion, I'm talking about this just from a scientific research perspective. I'm not even talking about the whole spiritual and emotional component that goes with all of this, because that's a whole other area that's not right. looked at. But when I started to study Absolutely. The faith and I looked at some of these documents, I was so angry. And Gerard, I'll go back to you. I was so angry because I didn't take the step to learn more. And I was so angry that I was part of the problem in terms of perpetuating these lies out there.
Yeah. That's our story, right? My wife and I discovered natural family planning late in our marriage. And it was, you know, a place where we looked at where we thought, oh, we wish we had known about this much earlier in our life. And that's what prompted us to start Natural Womanhood. The challenge, you mentioned, you know, that bill of good, and to me, one area I find is very sad is that there's a whole body of science that has been shunned, mm-hmm. that is, you know, people who are believers in this method have really uncovered, it's called NAPRO technology. Now there are other groups that are, training doctors to help with so many areas of women's reproductive health.
Right.
We're talking about infertility. We're talking about postpartum depression. We're talking about, PCOS and all the dysfunctions that can be treated so much better, right? By understanding the cycle, by understanding using fertility awareness and natural family planning to track the cycle, and that enables doctors to diagnose and treat those issues much better. And we talk now, this is not just about family planning now. This is about a whole body of healthcare that, is really valuable. It's practiced by still a very small minority of OBGYNs and doctors who have been trained in these approaches, and there are very effective ways to help women. If we had, if the medical system had embraced this method 30 or 40 years ago, everybody would be using these approaches, I think, and there would be so much more benefits for women's health.
There's so much, Teresa, that we can get into that Gerard mentioned and you mentioned, especially I think of the great work of Dr. Angela LaFranchi, the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute, and what she's done with showing a connection between birth control and breast cancer. Of course, we know the connection between even one abortion and increased risk in breast cancer, and mm-hmm. on and on and on. And just also, I think maybe we can have another discussion if we get Uju on with us before the 29th about the spiritual component of all this and what this does to women emotionally and spiritually. So, Teresa, again, remind us of when this is and the details and all the housekeeping information we need.
Absolutely. Yes, please go to naturalwomanhood.org, click on Target Africa to register for our free webcast. And again, the webcast will be on April 29th at 7:30 p.m. Again, head to naturalwomanhood.org to register for this free event.
To register for the free event, then also check out the great information. There's a ton of articles on here, very recent and very helpful. And if you're not familiar in terms of what we're talking about this morning, this will blow you away. I'm sure it will, as it did me over 30 years ago when I started to say, oh, maybe the church is right. Who knew? I could have had a V8. Mm-hmm. Where have I been all these years? Gerard and Teresa, thank you so much for your beautiful work and for doing what you can to put the truth out there. Naturalwomanhood.org. Check it out. My dear little sis Uju will be speaking at this beautiful event online. Target Africa, the harms of U.S.-funded contraception campaigns. And if you've never heard Uju speak, I know you've probably heard her on Life on the Rock or many of the EWTM programs she's appeared on. She's been on this program. But I would highly recommend you check this out. She is a dynamo. We'll be right back. It is a Monday morning. It's April 19th. You're listening to Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And I do hope you also grab a copy of my book. It came out a few years ago. I was just mentioning this to Kristalina Everett over the weekend. I was on her radio show. Extreme Makeover, Women Transformed by Christ, Not Conformed to the Culture. I go into great detail about all the discoveries I made making my way back to the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. We'll be right back.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages, and I'm so excited to announce two domestic pilgrimages this time, one to the Shrines of Wisconsin, where we're going to be joined by Cardinal Raymond Burke. We're going to have a consecration to St. Joseph and Our Lady of Good Help for the apparition of Mary that happened there. Also, we're going to St. Augustine, Florida, where the Catholic Church actually started, the first Mass ever, and we're going to be joined by Father Frank Pavone.
To learn more about your Ave Maria radio trip, go to avemariaradio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins.
More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Thanks so much for tuning into Catholic Connection on a Monday morning, April 19th. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about another really cool online event. I mean, this whole idea of having these virtual conferences, it's amazing how many things you can do online. Although I do hope that we also continue to go back to in-person events. I was glad to hear that Deacon Harold was actually speaking in Iowa, and we were talking during the break about getting back on the speaking circuit because we miss seeing you. It's really nice to be there in person. So Carrie Beckman will be joining us tomorrow about this beautiful event they're having. And then the other guest just went right out of my head. Andrew, who is it? Oh, yes, right. Father Charlie Fox from the Archdiocese of Detroit has another great article on Catholic World Report. There's actually two I want to speak to him about, so hopefully we'll have time to do that. And really appreciate all your support again for Ave Maria Radio and for our Listening for God conference. Don't forget to always visit our websites, both EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net, for great information. And also the archive sections that Andrew posts every day about midday. And check out this beautiful ministry, naturalwomanhood.org. Have a great Tuesday. Well, actually, have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.